Turn your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 53, please. Brother Dale, thank you for praying. Thank you for praying over the songs. The two songs you opened up with were, I think it was At Calvary, and then Because He Loved Me. I told Brother Jason, I said, if they sing one more song about the cross, I'm going to bust. And I guess in a way I did. God is good, youngins. If you don't know that, I hope you discover that soon. There's nothing like knowing the Lord. Nothing like walking with Him. Brother Les, it's good to see you today, buddy. You thought you could hide. But, you know, Randall ain't big enough for you to hide behind him. Amen. I'm glad you're here. I really am. Isaiah chapter 53. We are headed in towards Easter, and I have a thought on my mind, on my heart this morning that I hope will be a blessing to you. I'm not going to try to do the entire chapter again, but let's just read a few verses here. The Bible said, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The word of God said, here is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for our people. Thank you for your presence. I pray, dear Father, in the next few moments, God, that you would make yourself so real to the believer, that the believer would want to worship you. So real, our Father, to the unbeliever, that the unbeliever would want to trust you. God, I pray this morning, our Father, that you would clothe us in our calling. Help us, our Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In Isaiah 53, you've probably heard it said in days gone by that Isaiah probably does as good a job as any in the Old Testament of showing us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. One preacher said you could call it the gospel according to Isaiah, and you certainly wouldn't be doing a disservice. Isaiah was a prophet. He was a man that walked with God. He was a man that knew the Lord. He was a man that was called on to give a message to the people. I remember when I think about Isaiah, you start in the first five chapters, and over and over and over you will find Isaiah saying something like this: "Woe unto them, woe unto them, woe unto them." If we're not careful, we'll be the same way in the political scene today and in our country. We've turned the wrong way so many different times. And it'd be so easy to look and to see what's wrong in our country. Maybe what's wrong in another person's life. What's wrong down at the company. But in chapter 6, Isaiah, the Bible said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. And when he saw the Lord high and lifted up," no more do you find Isaiah telling us what's wrong with the nation. He said, "Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Isaiah is a wonderful, wonderful example to us, amen, of what can happen when we really get close to him. Amen. I've often said, and I still believe it to be true today, the person that's walking the closest to Jesus doesn't know it. Because Brother Jack, the closer we get to Him, the more we see that needs to be fixed in our own life. And the closer you get to Him, the less time you have to see what needs to be fixed all around you. That fellow in the mirror, he needs the Lord. And I need Him today. I want to share with you what God's put on my heart. It's really not put in there boldly, so to speak, in chapter number 53. But if you look and you study, you can actually find all of these things in Isaiah chapter 53. You can find the reference to Jesus' virgin birth. You can find references to His virtuous life. You can find references to His vicarious death. That is what the entire theme of the chapter seems to be, more so than any other. And then you can find reference to His victorious resurrection. And then you can also find reference to His visible return. Like you said, Brother Jason, in the song a while ago, He's coming. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something better than that. He's coming for me. It was said, I believe, somewhere in the service this morning, maybe it's Sister Jennifer's testimony, that when it became personal, He died for me. He didn't just die for the sin of the whole world, though that is absolutely true. But oh, happy day when I realized that He died for me. He did that for me. He loves me. Because He loves me, my Savior died. I want to touch on several things in the chapter this morning. Pray that it'll be a blessing to you. And pray that God will speak to our hearts. I want to look first of all at the record of His suffering. This chapter really is encapsulated around the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you of something. Isaiah writes this 700 years before Jesus ever comes on the scene. You say, how in the world could somebody write something so accurately 700 years before it ever happened? I'll tell you how. He was under the inspiration of the blessed Holy Ghost of God. And beloved, listen, the Holy Ghost is just like the Father and just like the Son. He always gets it right. He never makes a mistake. Amen. And today, I want you to consider the record of His suffering. The Bible said here, who hath believed our report? Did you know, beloved, listen, that this Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the record of the Lord Jesus Christ? And in different places, like Isaiah 53, you find the record of His suffering. I want to say this to you, and I don't want to sound mean, but if you ever get over what He did for you and what He did for me, listen, I remember years ago in Townsend, Tennessee, I went and sat in the little amphitheater, and I watched the production on the Passion of Christ. Has anybody ever seen it down there? Amen. I remember sitting there, and you know what they were doing? They were doing their best to depict the suffering of our Lord. But did you know the Bible said in verse number 14 of chapter 52, as many were astonished at thee, His visage was so marred, more than the form of any man, and His form more than the sons of men. In my Scofield Bible down at the bottom, it says the literal rending is terrible. So marred from the form of man was His aspect that His appearance was not that of a son of man, i.e. not human. The effect of the brutalities described, beloved, in the Gospels and in Isaiah chapter 53. I've said it like this for years. Some of us that are here today have a strong stomach. Some of us have a weak stomach. There's some people sitting here today, if you'd ever go to a slaughterhouse and see how that a cow dies, you'd probably never eat a hamburger again in your life. Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, this was brutality. Amen. Like this world has never seen when Jesus suffered. It's a Bible record from Genesis to Revelation. It's a bloody record. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I cannot imagine why anybody in this world would want to take a Bible like ours and take out the blood. And I can't imagine why anybody would want to take a songbook like ours and take out the blood. Honey, it's still the blood that saves from sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission whatsoever. And now, listen, it's not the blood of bulls and the blood of goats, but it's the blood of Jesus that makes the difference in a person's life. Under the blood. Hallelujah. When that old accuser comes along and says, look what you've been, look what you've done. Oh, he's right. God knows what I've been. God knows what I've done. But I tell you what that old accuser forgets is the power of the blood. When it's put under the blood, it's forgiven, it's forgotten. Amen. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But let me give you this. This is probably the most important thing about this first thing in the message, the record of his suffering. Not only is it a Bible record, and not only is it a bloody record, but I would like for you to turn with me to 1 John chapter number 5, please. 1 John chapter number 5. The Bible said in verse number 10 of 1 John chapter number 5, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. The Bible said, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Why? Because he believeth not, what? The record that God gave of his Son. These songs that we're singing this morning, they didn't just come out of the blue. They're based on Scripture. Amen? It's a record that God gave of his Son. The Bible said in this record, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And depending on where you go to church, it might read like this. And this life is in the baptism. And this life is in the offering. And this life is turning over a new leaf and doing good. And this life is in church membership. And this life is in doing the best you can. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. This life is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, that's awful narrow. I want to be as narrow as he is. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. They were singing the song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I leaned over to Brother Jason and said, because he lives, my grandbabies can be saved. My grandbabies can meet me in the city of God because he lives. Amen. Oh, beloved, it's a believable record. You can take offense at what I'm going to say, but I believe it takes more faith to believe a lie and be damned than it does to believe the truth of God's Word. Amen. God has given us a record. Yet keep on digging. The archaeologists keep on digging. Oh, some of them, Brother Jason, they're just praying. Let's dig something up. Let's dig something up. Let's dig down deeper. Let's dig something up. That'll disprove that Bible. But they keep a digging. And God keeps a declaring, I told you. Let them keep digging, amen. God's going to just keep declaring, it's true, it's true, it's true. You're never going to get away from it. The Word of God is true. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life. this life is, I don't know why, but I feel compelled to stop right here just a minute and say something. Listen, I pass different kinds of churches going up and down the road. Everybody does not believe that when a person is born again that they're saved forever. I'm going to be kind. I really am. But I want to ask you a question. If you don't believe that a person that's born again is saved forever, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Number one, what is the gift of God? The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then I want to ask you another question. When does an individual receive the gift of God? This scripture right here said, he that hath the Son, I ain't got a lot of sense, but that means if you have Jesus right now, you have eternal life right now. Amen? He that hath the Son hath eternal life. If you have Jesus right now, you have eternal life right now. Now listen to me. Now here's what I want to ask you. If you believe that a person receives eternal life when they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, then something happens, whether it's your fault or somebody else's fault or the devil's fault or whatever, that interrupted that and you went to hell. My question is this. Was it eternal to start with? I'm just trying to reason. Amen. Listen, if I didn't have another verse of Scripture, I'd take Jesus' word for it. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I'm going to lay down on that tonight. I ain't going to worry about whether I did something today or thought something today that I didn't get confessed before I wake up in the morning, because I know He gave me eternal life. That don't make me want to live loose. It makes me want to live for Him. The record of His suffering. The reason for His suffering. How many remembers the weatherman years ago? And they had to, some of y'all are too young for this. They had to, you remember, Brother Larry, you're older than Darren, amen. Remember when they had that pointer, Brother Larry, and they pointed at the map, they might point up there at Washington State and over here at Washington, D.C. and up there at Vermont, you know, down here in Florida. Everybody get you a pointer. If you ain't got one, use your finger. Got you a pointer? Okay. I'm going to make this real simple. I got a couple things to say, but I'm going to make this real simple. Point it right there. Make sure the point ain't out on it. That's why He died. He died for you. He died for you. He died for you. The reason for His suffering. He suffered. Let me give you several things real quickly. Because He was despised. The Bible said over there in Isaiah chapter number 53, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You say, Pastor, how could anybody despise the darling Son of God? I'll tell you how. He was a threat to their playhouse. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen, you may not like what I'm going to say, but here it comes. I didn't plan on saying it. But there's a man in the White House right now that's despised by a lot of people. And I'm going to tell you why. Because he's a threat to their playhouse. I know I'm right. Thank you, Brother Gary. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus come along and here come the crowd. The Bible said they thronged Him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they started losing their little grip on their religious organization because people were following Jesus. People were listening to Jesus. People were being healed by Jesus. People were being saved by Jesus. And they couldn't stand it. I'll tell you something right now. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And Isaiah said, we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised. Boy, I don't want to be guilty of that today, do you? Amen. I don't want to be ashamed of Him. By the way, the Bible said, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. If I was ashamed of Jesus, I'd do some checking up. He suffered because He was despised. Number two, He suffered that we might be delivered. He looked down there February 22nd, 1987. And He saw a man that was already a daddy, a husband, a daddy, a son, a brother. But what he saw more than any of that was, even after 6.5 years of church membership, he's still a sinner. Because he's never one time swallowed his pride. He's never one time admitted what he was. And you know what he did? He suffered so I could be delivered. So I could have something besides religion. I could have a relationship with the Son of God. I could be born again. Amen. I'm going to tell you, this world is full of religion. If religion's all you got when you die, honey, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. You must be born again. If religion would get anybody to heaven, it would have got Paul to heaven. It would have got Nicodemus to heaven. But not religion ain't going to do it. You're going to have to be born of God. And then, now listen, this is good stuff right here. Not only did he suffer because he was despised and suffered that we might be delivered, but he suffered because it was determined. I want to show you something here in the text. I have these things circled in my Bible, some of them. The Bible said in verse number 3, he is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He, what's that next word? Was. Despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath. I want you to understand, this is 700 years before he was born. And Isaiah is speaking of it like it's already happened. He said, how can that be? Because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Because God, in the economy of God, already knew that Adam and Eve, amen, would not do the right thing, that they would rebel. But he made a way. Aren't you glad he made a way? From the foundation of the world. Notice, he was wounded for our transgression. Now listen, Brother Brian, if you were going to write something 7 days in advance that was going to happen to Pastor, you would say, he will be wounded. Isaiah said he was. Oh, in the mind of God. You say, how in the world could Isaiah write that? He didn't. The Holy Ghost told him what to write. Say amen. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Notice that word was. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. I wasn't even here yet. But the chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Then you get down in verse number 6, the Lord hath, it's already done. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He is brought. He was taken from prison. He was cut off out of the land of the living. I don't know about you, but I think that's worthy of noting. Amen. In the mind of God, it was already determined. We see the record of his suffering, the reason for his suffering. What's the result of his suffering? Look at verse number 10 and 11 with me, please. The Bible said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul. How many remembers what happened when Jesus was hanging on the cross? There's a lot of things happened, but what I want to call your attention to is darkness. You remember that? I think it was from the 6th hour to the 9th hour. Is that correct? I'm talking about darkness. Darkness where you can't... I'm telling you, I believe fear would have come on the people. But I'm going to tell you something. Man couldn't see, but God was still seeing. He shall see of the travail of his soul. The Word of God said. I know that, listen, it wasn't only there in the darkness, but in the garden, Jesus got down on his knees and he said, oh, my Father. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I got to thinking, coming to church this morning, every lie that's ever been told was in that cup. Every murder that's ever been committed was in that cup. Every rape that's ever been committed, it was in that cup. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, everybody that ever cheated somebody, amen, it's IRS time, and a lot of people's going to cheat the IRS. Let me tell you something right now. I'd think twice before I'd done that. Not because you fear the IRS, because you fear God. You ought to put down there what's right. Say amen. Amen. Every pornographic image that's ever been made, every film was in that cup. You say, Pastor, you're being gross. I'm just trying to tell you this morning, every evil thought, every dirty joke, everything in this world that's ever been wrong and called sin was in that cup. And He willingly The Bible said He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. There is no other way but through the blood of Jesus. Its result, this result of His suffering, it's seen in satisfaction. He shall see of the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. Let me just say this to you this morning. I believe the satisfaction is twofold. I believe the Father was satisfied. And I believe if you ever get in touch with Him, amen, you ever trust Him as your Savior, you'll be satisfied. I tried everything in the world, was never satisfied. I joined up with the church and tried everything in the church and still was not satisfied. But when I trusted Jesus, I've been satisfied ever since. Satisfied. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. The result is seen in satisfaction. It's seen in salvation. The Bible said He was numbered with the transgressors. How in the world could Isaiah know that there'd be a thief on one side and a thief on the other side? How could he know? He didn't. But he knew the one who did. Amen. He knew the one who did. And you say, Pastor, this suffering, how could it result in... Listen, I will not be dogmatic about this, but I don't believe I don't believe it's an accident. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I'll probably tell it 100 times if God lets me live 10 years. Those thieves, both of them, were railing on Him. Come down, if thou be the Christ, come down and get us down. You read it, both of them, saying the same thing. Until something happened. Jesus looked at that crowd. They pulled His beard. Brother Caleb, they spit on Him. They crowned Him with thorns. They beat Him to a pulp. They nailed Him to a cross. And our Lord and Savior cried from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I can't prove this, Brother Brian, but I believe something welled up in one of them thieves and said, Oh boy, if He can forgive them, look what they've done to Him. Look what they've done. If He can forgive them, oh, maybe, just maybe, I tell you, Lord, remember me when You come into Your kingdom. Jesus didn't say anything about His thieving. He didn't say anything about His penalty. He just said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's the reason He suffered. So that we could go be with Him in the city of God. And then it resulted also in supplication. Where do you see that? Look at verse 12. Therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He hath poured out His soul unto death. And He was numbered. By the way, there's something right there I just now caught. You remember He said, I have the power to lay it down? His life. And I have the power to take it. He poured out His own soul unto death. See it? Watch this now. And He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bare the sin of many. Look at that last statement. And He made intercession. Whoa, glory. For the transgressors. You know what Jesus is still doing, sitting at the right hand of the Father? He's still making intercession. That old accuser runs up there. Oh, I could just hear Him, can't you? Oh, I want you to look what that pastor did. I want you to look what that pastor thought. I want you to look what that pastor... Oh, let me tell you something right now. Oh, Jesus, He's my advocate. He looks over at the Father and says, He's ours. He's trusted me as His Savior. Listen, that's not a license to sin. But I thank God. The Bible said if any man says he's without sin, he's a liar. And the truth's not in him. Amen. Beloved, listen. That's the result of his suffering. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm finished this morning. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. I'll read a verse or two of scripture here. Maybe a verse in the book of Psalms. Hebrews chapter number 12. I want you to see, lastly, the reward for his suffering. The Bible said, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, I want you to see this. We're looking at the reward, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. They despised him and he despised the shame, hanging naked on an old rugged cross, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. A couple of things quickly and I'm done. I'm going to read a text from Psalms 16 and verse number 11. First one, the reward of our Lord Jesus for his suffering was joy in the presence of his church. The Bible said, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. So I see Jesus is rewarded. You remember this? There's an unseen guest here this morning. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. Did you know it wouldn't matter if we had 2,000 or 3,000? If he don't come, nothing happens. Nobody will be blessed. But he said, just 2 or 3. I want you to see the reward. He said, they'll gather in my name. He said, I'll be right there. I love this old time saying, right smack dab in the middle of them. Amen. That's where I want him. I want him smack dab in the middle of my family. I want him smack dab in the middle of my decisions. I want him smack dab in the middle of our church. Don't you? Joy in the presence of the church. Then there's joy in the perseverance of the Christian. Did you know this? Jesus knows when you don't feel like putting one foot in front of the other. Did you know that? Jesus knows when you're tired. Jesus knows, Brother Chris, when you're discouraged. Jesus knows when the Christian is defeated. But the Word of God said, consider him that endured such contradiction, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You say, Pastor, not only is there joy in the presence of his church, but there's joy in the perseverance of the Christian. Jesus looks down there and says, I know he feels like quitting, but watch him. He's going to go on. I know she feels like quitting, but watch her. She's going to go on. She's taking another step. She's praying another prayer. She's reading another verse. She's not going to give up. She's going to another service. She's telling another soul. Say whatever you want to. That brings joy to the Savior. And then there's joy in the peace of his children. Look at verse number 14. The Bible said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. How many of y'all got children? How many here got children? How many's got more than one? You've got to have more than one for this illustration. Amen. Brother Chris, you and Reed can't get in on this. Amen. How many's ever watched your youngins squabble? How many's ever been grieved by that? It grieves you, don't it? It did more than grieve my dad. That was the days. That was the hippie era when I grew up. Amen. Your hair down about right here. That was a bad mistake. That gave Daddy more to get a hold of. I had a brother. We would fight. We'd fight like dogs. My dad got so frustrated one time. He said, boys, if you're going to fight, do it right. He grabbed one head of hair and the other head of hair, and they was noses coming together. Somewhere or another, when he got done, we didn't feel like fighting no more. Amen. You say, Pastor, I would never do something like that. I wonder sometimes, Brother Chris, how much we frustrate our Heavenly Father. We get something in our heart towards a brother or sister in Christ. I'm telling you, that peace, Brother Caleb, when we have peace one with another, that pleases Him. That pleases Him. That pleases Him. I don't know about you this morning. There's a lot I don't know. But there's one thing I know. I want to please Him. Don't you? I'd give anything if my dad, if I could walk with him one more Sunday afternoon. If I could do one more thing that would make my dad smile and say, that's my boy. Amen. I was telling it out on the parking lot working this week. My dad had my son. This was, see, we didn't have a lot. We should have had a transmission jack. I'm talking about a John Deere 4D dozer. And my brother's up under, I can't remember, Rick, if it was the trans, it's the part in the middle. But anyway, he was up under it, and Dad's on top trying to get a bolt started. He said, it just needs a half inch, Chris, it just needs a half inch. Just push up. I can't, Dad, I can't. My dad, oh, I'm telling you, he's mean. He said, if I had Rick up under there, he'd put it up here. Dad said, boom, there it come, right on up. Amen. That's that psychology, ain't it? Amen. Whatever, it worked. Should have had a transmission jack under it. Not a son laying under there. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I know with my earthly father what it is to please him. Brother Chris, I know what it was to disappoint him. I've been saved since 1987. It's sad when you have to stop and think about it a minute. Not February 26th, 1987. I know what it is to please my Heavenly Father. And I also know what it is to disappoint Him. I know what it is when you're reading your Bible, God's given you a message, and you have to roll out of your chair. Say, oh God, I can't preach this till I get this right in my own heart and in my own life. Has anybody ever been there? Amen. The Bible's talking about the suffering. There's the record of His suffering. There's the reason that He suffered. There's the result of His suffering. But I want to be part of that reward, don't you? That He didn't suffer in vain. Men and women, today, we've got this conflict going on in Iran. I don't know what the number is now. I believe it's up in the teens of people that have died. And you say, well, that's a great success. No, let me tell you something. It is, militarily, that's wonderful. But those families are hurting. And you know what? Those families, Brother Mike, they don't want their son or their daughter's death to be in vain. They want it to stand for something. Amen? And let's make sure that our Lord and Savior's death is not in vain. That we'll have enough backbone to stand for something in these days that we live in. Let's pray. Father, Thank you this morning for the privilege to come in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for being willing, Lord, to take our place on an old rugged cross. Lord, I could almost feel the nails that should have been mine, the spittle, the crown, the beating. And yet, Lord, you love me so much. You said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. Thank you for laying down your life for us, Lord. There could be somebody here today, Lord, that doesn't know you yet. I pray that today would be the day. Today would be the day that they would experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.